Let us pray. Almighty God, as we hear your scripture and listen for a word from you, move me out of the way. Open all of our hearts that we might hear just the right thing, the one thing that you would have us do today, this week, to grow, to become your true disciples. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. How many of you look in the mirror every day? I want you to say pretty much everybody. And what are you doing? You know, it might be a quick look just to check and make sure everything's okay, your tie's knotted, your slip's not showing, your hem's straight. Oh, wait, we don't wear any of those things anymore. But it might be to make sure that we have no rooster tails going on, that we haven't smudged lipstick up on our cheek, just to make sure that everything is just about in place right where we want it to be. And if we're not taking a quick look, it might be that we have pulled out a mirror, you know, one of those magnifying kind that you can get up close and personal and check out all the things that you're trying to see. The idea is that we're using this mirror to get a true assessment, an accurate appraisal of our bodies. And what I'd like to share is that I just don't think it's possible for us to really get an accurate assessment of our bodies. And while I know that this is a gross exaggeration and something of a stereotype, I'm going to say it anyway. When men look in the mirror, by and large, whether they see this or they see this, they think, what a man. And when women see this or this, they think, oh, I wish that one spot would just go away. It's just the way we assess ourselves as we see each other, as we see ourselves reflected in the mirror. But I think the scripture this morning begins to give us a mirror that we ought to be using, not the one in our bathroom, but the one that God has provided for us. It tells us that we are God's chosen, holy, and beloved. Knowing that we are God's chosen, He has picked us. He has picked all of humanity to love. We hear echoes of this in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit and bear it abundantly. If you were here last week, you hear echoes out of Ephesians as well, being rooted and grounded in Christ. It's who we are because God chose us. God picked us and is simply waiting for us to respond, for us to be choosing God as well. And we are holy. If you look through the whole of the canon, most of the time, holiness refers to God and God alone. The only time that holy becomes something more than God, something different than God, is when God bestows it. When God, who is so very different from us, chooses to make something holy. And guess what? He has chosen us. He has chosen to make us holy. That's what we ought to see when we look in the mirror. Someone who is chosen and bestowed with a gift of holiness by God. And we are beloved. Think about someone who is near and dear to you. Or maybe think about your favorite snuggly from your childhood, one you have tucked away somewhere, one that a child or grandchild carried. I'll venture to say, if you look at the snuggly, it is probably worn and chewed and repaired, gone through the dirt and the mud and the dishwasher, and maybe missing a button or missing an arm or missing a seam. It has been taken everywhere. And it is loved more dearly than any of the perfect ones that are just sitting on the shelf. It's true, too, of the people who are nearest and dearest to us. We know all their imperfections, and they know ours. And we love them anyway. Imagine it's like this and so much more that God loves us. This truly is the mirror that God wants us to use to reflect who we are. And the mirror that God wants us to use as we begin to put on our Christian wardrobe, remembering who we are and how very hard it is to see ourselves through God's eyes. And so, what does it mean to be dressed as a Christian? Well, do we need to put on some formal attire and be as perfectly polished as we can be when we put on our formal attire? Or maybe we need to wear some kind of business clothes because we are serious about God's business. And that's what we need to wear so people will know that we are Christians. Or maybe, I'm not really familiar with this style of dress. I don't know if it's formal or casual golf wear. But maybe we want to distinguish ourselves from most everybody else so people will see that somehow we are different. Or maybe we just want to be casual and comfortable, looking like almost everybody else around us. Maybe we just want to look like, because Christianity is fun, that we're ready to go out and just enjoy a good time. Or maybe we want to put on our very best shopping clothes. Maybe. So now that you've seen all of those pictures, if I had to ask you to pick, who is the Christian that we just looked at? Is there any way to tell? And the answer is no. There really isn't any way to tell. Not by the clothing that we put on. But the world is making judgments about Christians based on what you and I wear. We make judgments based on appearance. It's a part of who we are. And so what wardrobe is it that we ought to be putting on that says, I am a Christian? Well, we heard it this morning. The wardrobe is compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forgiveness and love. These are the clothing that Christians should wear. And we've talked about them some in here before, but let's just remind ourselves what that looks like. Compassion and kindness are hand in glove. They go together. Not only is it the feeling that we have for someone who is in a difficult situation, but it is the way we respond to them. It's what we do. It might be that our response to someone grieving is to just simply go and sit silently with them. a response of presence and presence alone. It might be that someone is celebrating and they need more people to share the joy with so that it can be doubled. And we participate in sharing the joy. Or it might be that our active participation in compassion and kindness is lobbying the legislature, working on behalf of vulnerable people that we haven't ever met and don't ever expect to. Compassion and kindness can be one-on-one, but it can also be for the community and for the world. Humility is a proper sense of self. Really being able to see who you are and to own it. To know that there are things that you do well and to claim that. And to know there are things that you're not so good at. And to claim that and be okay with both. Humility is walking through the world just as you are and being comfortable with who you are. Gentleness is another word for meekness. I think sometimes when we hear the word meek, we think of cowering and not responding in any good way, just letting whatever happens, happens. But that's not what the writer of Colossians is challenging us to do this morning. If we are to be gentle or meek, what it means is giving up a little bit of what is rightfully ours for others who would benefit as much or more than we would. It's a way of lifting others up as we join together in community. And patience. I'm not sure why God didn't just create us patient. We started out kind of perfect, and it didn't last very long. And so we get lots of opportunities to practice being patient, which is not allowing ourselves to be frustrated by the shortcomings of others, because, you know, those other people have a lot of shortcomings. And bearing with one another and moving into forgiveness is really allowing others to be different, acknowledging their strengths and weaknesses, and allowing those who are really different from us to share the same space as us, recognizing them as persons of worth. This is the wardrobe that God wants us to put on. This is the wardrobe of what it looks like to be a Christian, to be in Christ. And it's a wardrobe that is much harder to put on and to get just right. Instead, we as Christians sometimes tend to use a worldly mirror when we're looking and trying to reflect who we are. And the world looks at us, and what they see are people who are opinionated and judgmental and boastful. And they call us hypocrites. There's an old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. And that may be true, but unfortunately, it's not the way we live in the world. We do judge the world by its appearances and the way we put ourselves out there. And the world is judging us by the way we put ourselves out there. And so it may be that we need to make some adjustments in our wardrobe. Maybe not adjustments in our opinions, but maybe in the way that we offer our opinions, in the language we use, in the tone that we use to express them, or in our attitudes about those who are different from us. Or maybe the adjustment we need to make is at the way that we relate to our family. Our families, I'm afraid, are the ones who get to see us so often at our worst. A place where it's easy to be impatient and to hold a grudge and to not really wear and live into our Christian being. Or maybe it's the way that we love someone. Maybe we need to make adjustments in the way that we do that. Figuring out how best to love someone, especially someone who is difficult to love. So where is it that we're going to find this wardrobe? Well, the last few verses kind of help us begin to figure that out. We understand that we're going to do this together. This isn't an individual hunt. It's not a single closet that each person gets their own. It's a great big closet. Think of shopping at Nordstrom's. And the whole passage begins to help us see that we as a body need to be wearing the clothes of Christ, not only in the world, but also amongst ourselves. And how are we going to do that? Well, it tells us that we're going to teach and admonish one another in wisdom. In wisdom. And sometimes the very best way that wisdom comes to us is through the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we sing as we gather in worship. Think how well the music stays with you. Think how well it comes, how readily it comes to mind when you're listening, wishing for some bit of comfort from God. A little phrase out of your favorite hymn or a song will come on the radio and you will hear God speak to you. Or if you're trying to memorize something and you can set it to a tune, you know how much easier it is to take that into your heart. In other words, it's saying that as we gather in worship, the music, the scripture, the shared experience is one of the places that we can find the clothes that God would have us put on. It's not enough simply to wear our church clothes to church. The scripture challenges us to take our church clothes and wear them out into the world. Whatever we do, it says, in word or deed, whether we're working or playing, or on Facebook, or offering opinions, or volunteering, or even fighting with someone, to wear our Christian clothes and to live with thanksgiving. Each of the last three verses has some kind of commitment to thankfulness. The first is be thankful. It's a whole sentence all by itself. Imagine living into just that one challenge of Scripture. Be thankful. And we hear that we need to live with gratitude and giving thanks. I wonder how it is that we acknowledge our thankfulness in our everyday lives. Is it simply table grace, which is a good place to start? Or do we find ways to put our thankfulness out there on the table in more regular places? When we've gathered with friends or family or at a meeting at work and the conversation begins to get a little snippy, and everybody starts to complain. Do we join in the fray? Or do we offer a word of thankfulness for something that has gone right in the midst of all of it? And remind ourselves and challenge others to see where the good is and not only focus on the bad. For the good will always lead us back to God. Now, I have one final question as we near the end of this scripture. How many of you can still wear the clothes you wore in high school? Or if you're not in high school, in preschool? I would venture to say there are very few of us who can still put those on. I'm thinking mine might fit my toe. As our bodies change shape, We have to find a new wardrobe that fits. And there are very few of us who can throw out our entire wardrobe and replace it with things that fit and suit our style exactly in one moment. Instead, we have to replace it piece by piece or a few at a time. And it's true for us who are becoming new in Christ that we probably aren't going to be able to throw out the old wardrobe all at once. We'll have to replace it piece by piece, a little at a time. And so we gather each week in worship and study, in fellowship and service. And those are places and ways that we can pull out this new wardrobe that God would have us wear. And hopefully, as we live into the reality show called life, we will learn by the grace of God what not to wear and grow more into our best selves as God's chosen, holy, and beloved. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks this day for the opportunity to gather in worship, for choosing us, and for calling us to become better than we thought we could be. Challenge us, each of us this week to lay aside some component of our wardrobe that no longer fits who we are in you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.